Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. We got more news about Anna Nicole Smith, don't we? Do we?
Yes, we do.
All right. Do we have more
abundance of it?
Do we have more Dixie Chicks news as well?
Yes, we do.
Fantastic.
We're a little bit behind for some reason today.
Maybe things would go faster if everything was done in a Texas drawl. Maybe the show would move along like it was on greased rails.
You do seem to be getting kind of distracted today.
Maybe so. No, it's not your fault.
All right.
Don't give me that look. I'm not the one rambling on for like 15 minutes.
I'm not giving
don't
you a look.
Me.
I'm not giving you a look.
How come everything is my fault?
I don't know, Sarah. How come everything is your fault?
I don't know, Rick.
This email says, here's a thought, Rick. What if none of those who are stepping forward are the real father of Anna Nicole Smith? Well, it's already up to seven, right, today? Six, seven? We'll find
seven.
Out. Maybe the real father doesn't want to be found out. Well, no, that's not true. This is $500 million or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then what will happen to the baby? Well, that's a good question. What if they take the DNA sample and it doesn't belong to anybody? And is it true that the kid's last name is Marshall on the birth certificate?
I believe so.
Well, that's weird. Is that just because she wasn't... Ah, my head hurts. The baby is born like 5 months ago, but she was already... she's not still married to what's-his-name, is she? Is she still considered his wife? What's-his-name who died, J.R. Marshall?
No, she'd be a widow.
But you know what I'm saying. They didn't get divorced, did they?
No.
Were they married till death did them part?
Yes.
So the baby's last name is Marshall. Well, in any event.
Weird. This whole story just keeps getting weird.
That's what I'm saying. It's really
weird.
It's curiouser and curiouser. It's hard to hold on to. And also this. Rick, about your damaged skull. That's not my damaged skull, by the way. That's the skull that was up here that Tim Savage broke over the weekend. I have a replacement skull if you are interested. Oh, by the way, it's real. Let me know if you're interested.
No.
I already emailed him back and said yes. So he's going to drop that off at the front desk. All right.
Lucky for Dave Zinn.
Dave Zinn. You know what, Dave Zinn? UFO is here.
Is he human skull?
So much worse. I don't know. I assume so, but now I don't know. Let me read it again. Hold on. Let's see. Rick, I have a replacement skull. If you are interested, here's the creepy part. It's real. Let me know if you're interested. David Stevenson. Well, I don't know, David Stevenson. I assumed it was a human skull. Maybe that says more about me than about David, though, that I just assumed David had, like, co-eds or something littering his basement. Well, I guess we'll find out. I told him to drop it off at the front desk. We'll see what happens. Before we do anything else, let's see. Should I be taking whatever this is? Well, maybe. We'll do this. We'll do the worst song ever. Then we'll play break. We'll come back. Tim Riley. Then, let's see. Then we will have Jim Roop. Then the top five. Then Dennis Pitzenbarger. Then Scotty J. And Scotty J is back there just pounding out. It's like he's writing like the Magna Carta back there. He's just pounding out page after page after page of something like really angrily. Like furrowing his sort of his brow and just sort of like punching his fingers into the keyboard.
It must be a letter to the editor.
Sorry.
A Billboard magazine.
My gazebo is filthy. So, I don't know exactly what it is that he's preparing a screed on. But we were going to do the urban perspective with him later on today because it is Black History Month. So I'm wondering if that
also
might...
Also Black Love Day.
Jessica really is your... She's your P1, Tim.
She's
or Jessica. Julia. Good God. Now I'm doing it again.
Rebecca?
No, she shut your mouth.
I'm sorry. I was laughing at the way you were.
Yes, that's laughing. Well, I'm just saying. All right, we should do this. We should do this worst song ever. I have to do a little bit of bit of backstory on this. So while and again, I've got to load it. So in the meantime, I'm going to load this worst song ever, and then we will we'll take a break after that. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry.
And now from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the state is kicking off a new campaign to crack down on underage drinking. It's called We Don't Serve Teens. The goal is to encourage parents not to give these Bobby Soxers alcohol. According to the nonprofit group, nearly one in five adults think it's okay to give alcohol to teens. But most parents say it's not okay for parents to give alcohol to someone other than their own children. More than 4,000 teens were arrested in liquor law violations last year. Something must be done.
Is that where they get the, do they still call that? Is that an MIP still, a minor possession?
Yeah.
Minor. There was, when I was growing up, there was a minor possession, there was minor consumption, which were two different things.
MIP.
Yeah, and then the minor possession was like, you just had like a... Well done. You just had the six pack in the trunk of your car, and the minor consumption was like. But I don't understand how that happens, kids. That's got to be just like a Darwinian thing, because at least when I was in high school, you always stationed a guy as a lookout who would just keep an eye out for the man, the heat, the fuzz. When we were coming down the street, and like a guy would come back. It's like Stand By Me, when Will Wheaton stands up and says train. There was always a guy who stood outside in the shrubbery, and yelled that there was a cop coming. And then everybody would just sort of pour out of there like roaches out of a motel. And then there was always that one, and you never got invited to this party, but you always heard about a mythical party somewhere where, like, the adults thought it was okay if the kids got all sauced up as long as they didn't leave the premises. Mm-hmm. You always heard that there was some family like that in school where they thought it was the socially responsible thing to let the kid get all plowed, like, at their place as long as they weren't driving. But you never got invited to that party. Sort of a myth.
Here's Tim Riley.
Here it is, finally, the 911 call made to Hollywood, Florida police at the time of Anna Nicole Smith's death. It has been released. Let's listen, shall we?
Hi, this is Seminole, please. If you can please respond to the Hard Rock, room 607.
Okay.
It's going to be reference to a white female who is, what is she not responsive?
Is she dead or something?
She's not breathing and she's not responsive. She's actually Anna Nicole Smith.
Uh-huh.
If you guys...
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
She sounds real concerned.
It's only Anna Nicole Smith.
She's only dead. She sounds real broken up about the whole thing. That's like the same tone of voice that she uses whenever somebody's, you know, like spilled some orange juice in the hallway and they've got to get one of the maids up there to clean it or something. That's the actual 911 call?
That is, yes.
We don't make she was still warm, though. I know. I'm just saying, I wonder if that sounds... It doesn't even sound like it could be the initial call.
Because doesn't unresponsive just mean dead, basically?
Well, she... I hate to be morbid, but she was still warm, right? So it doesn't... Yeah. It seems like you don't know...
But we only know what they're saying. I mean, she could have been dead for an hour.
Maybe.
Still doing the autopsy.
Yeah, because unless she just seems really obviously like cold and just like she'd been dead for hours, it's like you'd seem like you want to get your hustle on there and maybe have somebody come look into things. Yeah, she sounds, you know, she sounds like, can you play that back again? This is the 911 call by Anna Nicole Smith.
All right, let me go back here. 911 call.
Okay, here it is.
Hi, this is Seminole, please. If you can please respond to the Hard Rock, room 607.
Okay.
It's going to be reference to a white female who is, what is she not responsive?
Not responsive, they have
She's not breathing and she's not responsive. She's actually Anna Nicole Smith.
She's being stubborn.
Uh-huh. If you guys can please.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you.
She sounds exactly like that horrible, hideous woman who was at that listener party we did on Halloween some years ago at that that casino, that gambling establishment that will not be named. That horrible woman with the frizzy red hair, that big, hideous cow of a woman who was...
you can't get back in.
But my name is on the show.
You think I'm kidding, huh? Yes. No, you're not getting back in.
That's what she sounds like. Just sort of a honey, I've seen it all. That kind of woman, that woman who starts every sentence with honey. But the thing is being relayed to her, the facts are being relayed to her by somebody else. So who's the person in the background is the question. It doesn't even sound like she's reporting it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody else who saw
a lot of hearsay.
Did you see the trim spa guy on Larry King last night?
Yes, I did.
Told to claim it's a frame, it's a put-up job. And he actually used the word plot. He said it is a plot, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, his company's screwed.
Oh, yeah, they're effed.
Yeah, there's no coming back from that. Like,
effed beyond belief. He claimed the whole thing, Anna Nicole being killed, well, not, maybe not that, but he claimed the whole thing was just like a put-up job to make Trim Spa look bad.
What a selfish freak.
Totally, no, he was a bastard. And then Larry King had... They brought on, what's his name, the foreigner guy, the foreigner coroner, from Broward County, I have nothing to say of any interest to anyone, that guy.
Yeah.
They brought him on, and clearly, the great thing about the Larry King show is that you can see how little of his own preparation he does. He doesn't pre-read, he doesn't know the background of a story, he doesn't research, he has no idea who he is talking to beyond whatever small series of index cards his staff has prepared for him. And you can tell because when he is thrown a little bit or when he's speaking to someone, you can tell when he has no information apart from just the bare rudiments that have been put on the piece of paper in front of him on the counter. And the way he'll tell is he will immediately pull the ripcord and get out of a guest right away. So it is last night on Larry King. He's talking to whoever, the guy from Trim Spa, and then he's talking to some guy from Access Hollywood, who I liked a lot, by the way. This guy from Access Hollywood, his name is John something or other. Seems like a can-do kind of a guy to get to the bottom of this mess. But he brings on the medical examiner from Broward County. And he said, we have here the medical exam, the foreigner coroner from Broward County, Dr. Tajib, you know, to tell us about that. What did they call Daya? And then the coroner, who did, somebody must have gotten to him and explained to him that he's on television, and he can't just look like he came out of a Subway sandwich somewhere, because he's actually, like, has a tie, and he's all dressed up. And Larry came, tell us, what are these drugs? And the coroner just says, well, at this point, I have no determination to make about any. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, Broward County. Let's go back to Access. And the guy got about five words out. And Larry King just, bam, just pulled the eject seat and just got out of the interview. Because you could tell he knew in his head. As much as we make fun of Larry King for being a hack, that guy was enough of a television pro to realize that just televisions were tuning off everywhere. That was a road to nowhere. Here's Tim Riley.
So then we have this Bahamian minister Shane Gibson, with photos of him making out with Anna Nicole Smith in bed, published by the Tribune newspaper down there. Gibson denies any talk that he and Smith were lovers. He was interviewed on Bahamian TV last night with his wife at his side.
Environment. It wasn't any surprise. I knew the picture was being taken, and if you can see from the photographs, you saw a good smile on my face.
That's always the way to get the correct, you know, the honest answer out of a guy about infidelity is to interview him sitting next to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Put him on a couch right next to his wife, and then ask him, you know, what women he's bonked in the last week or so. That's the way to get the unfiltered truth.
These photos are all very innocent.
You saw nothing wrong with the kinds of photos, yes, the embraces and those kinds of photos. You saw nothing wrong with it. Absolutely not. They were innocent. They were all, like I said, taken by Howard Stern.
You know, I wonder how the real Howard Stern feels about that whole Howard Stern, Howard K. Stern thing. The best thing about this was the look on Julia's face just now when he was describing these photos. And the look on Julia's face was as though I had asked her to drink a bucket of curdled milk. It was as though I had just had like a big bowl of like cigarette butts that I asked her to drink. So, and those the photos with like the rose petals.
They're wrong.
Weird.
You don't hug your friends like that.
Seriously, ask if that's what I'm saying.
Like laying down in bed, come cuddle me with my face 2 inches away from yours. No,
totally. That should be our next show photo, our next staff photos.
Okay,
should
that is the creepiest.
All of us,
talking.
All of us on a bed, just showered in pink rose petals. Come on, that's funny.
Tim.
Could Anna Nicole's bodyguard be Daniel Lynn's father?
No response.
A heartbroken Alexander Denk drop some eggshell about the baby on television.
He claims to be Anna Nicole's secret lover.
She told me everything.
And now, in this extra world exclusive, a heartbroken Alexander Denk is dropping a bombshell about the real father of baby Danny Lynn and Anna's secret medical condition that may have caused her death.
I know so much stuff nobody else knows.
Denk, Anna Nicole's bodyguard for 2 years, first met the supermodel when he was cast as the chef on the Anna Nicole Show.
And it was an instant spot.
Denk claims he and Anna had a passionate love affair for 2 years.
She was wonderful, very sensitive and very emotional woman.
But Alexander tells Extra he knew Anna was in trouble the last time he spoke to her 2 weeks ago, a conversation that now haunts him.
She was sick of being called names and everybody was bashing on her.
And now, only on Extra, Denk breaks this stunning secret about Anna's health that could affect the investigation into her death, claiming she suffered from life-threatening seizures and was on medication.
But do you think that perhaps drugs could have played a part in her death?
My opinion, I don't think so. My opinion, I think she was exhausted.
Then Denk dropped the baby bombshell we never saw coming.
Did she ever reveal to you who the father of that little girl is?
She always told me she wanted to have kids with me.
There is a possibility that you are the father of Danny Lynn.
There's always a possibility, huh?
And the
well, that sounds definitive.
We'll reveal it.
Alexander's hired prominent Beverly Hills attorney Cyrus Nonajad and wants to raise baby Danny Lynn if she's his. But for now, his thoughts are with his lost love.
What are you going to miss most about this life?
A job.
The whole Anna, yeah.
Oh, I'm so tired.
I just saw the tear.
I'm so tired of people crying. Seriously. And it's always people. You can tell it's just so fake and so forced. I was watching the Larry King last night, though, and the universal consensus. And it's funny again, here it is happening. This phenomenon we've noticed over and over on the show, that immediately, within like a day, the entire country decided Howard K. Stern was guilty of something. Just like in a day, we all decided to side with Jennifer Aniston over Brad Pitt. We all just decided Howard K. Stern was guilty of something. We've all decided that what's-his-name, Larry Burkhead, is the most likely candidate to be the father. And we're all sick of people pretending to cry when they clearly do not care about this. Let's see. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey.
The
911 call, you said, the person who called in said, this is the Seminole Police.
Right.
Can you send somebody over? Obviously calling and saying we need an ambulance or something. I want to know who called the Seminole Police, and I want to hear that 911 call.
Well, no, but that thing you played, Tim, was that a call to the Seminole Police or from them to someone else?
It looks like it was to the Seminole Police.
Well, let's play it again, because he's saying that it was not them. It was the Seminole Police calling someone else.
Here. Well, let's try this again.
This is the
Hi,
call.
Hi, this is Seminole Police. If you
well spotted, sir.
Room 607.
So this is not the first 911 call.
To a white female who is...
All right, well, that explains why she's so nonplussed about the whole thing.
She's not breathing and she's not responsive. She's actually...
Because the other person's on the phone.
Right.
The 911 call.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So they're sort of daisy chaining the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, well spotted, John.
Thank you very
All right,
much.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. That's Tim. Tim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I got a question for... what's that girl's name you got in there? Julia?
Julia, yes.
Yeah. Who's your CAD teacher?
My CAM teacher?
I'm sorry?
CAM.
Oh, Mr. Franzen.
Oh, yeah, he's probably drunk right now.
Okay, no.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bleep that. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Appreciate
Awkward.
That.
You're on teen to teen.
He should be teaching instead of making phone calls to this program.
Yeah.
All right. Hello. It's 503-733-2970. That was someone just calling in to weigh in on specifically which teacher at a local high school he believed to be drunk at this actual moment. All right, we should break here. Let's break a break. We'll come back. More headlines with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, and we'll do It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Later on, Dennis Pitsenbarger. Tom Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Don't go anywhere. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, since she died at a Seminole Indian reservation, the Seminole police had to call the reservation emergency services. I don't even know what that means. So somebody found her and then they called, the Indian guys who then called, somebody else?
Well, yeah, they got to call the white man. They're not allowed to do things themselves.
Julie, be sure to pass that sentiment along for the CBS Radio News Department.
It's back in the treaties that they signed many years ago.
Sort of like you gained the right to sell scratch-offs, but you forfeit medical care, kind of a thing. Look, you can have casino or ambulances. Choose now. All right. It's 503. How many beads will it take for you to waive your right to medical help? It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I'm sorry, I looked over and Tim just had the most prim and proper look on his face. Just the most professional look. Ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. How about you?
I'm okay. I don't know the answer to that. I think we're okay. I think it's an amusing program. It's a little scattered today. Today's program is not necessarily following the matrix as closely as it ideally ought to.
Sometimes you got to walk around the edge, you know?
That's kind of what we do. We have a high school student with us today in the studio. Her name is Julia. She's here as a part of it, like a job shadow. There's some ill-advised decision she's made to go into communications or broadcasting or some sort of crap. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those things that you can say because it doesn't really mean you have to commit to doing anything. You know, what do you do? Well, I'm studying communications. And then that can become whatever it is you need it to be.
Like a liberal arts degree.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So having a sociology degree, which really does nothing for you. You can't do anything with it. It's completely useless for any sort of specific work that you want to do. But it sounds good, and it occupies yourself for like 4 years. And it's a good way to get your parents to pay for like, for 3-4 years full of boozing at a college of your choice. Not that that's going to be the case with Julia. I'm just saying. So she's here in the studio learning, and we, amazingly enough, I swear to God this is true, this was her first choice. This station and this show was her first choice for a job shadow. Normally people only come here because we're like ninth on the list and no one else calls back. So, anyway.
Well, good for you too then.
Yeah. So what's up with Anna Nicole Smith? Is it now seven guys claiming to be the dad? 5, 6, 12, something?
I thought it was just the three.
Oh, dude, where have you been?
My computer's out. I've been dealing with Dell computers all day trying to get my computer fixed.
What day is it where you are? Well, that's an uphill battle. What accent would you say that you're dealing with right now in terms of tech? Have you called tech support yet?
Well, there's actually a guy on the way now.
Now, is it from Dell or is he a guy from an independent, like a geek squad?
He's apparently from Dell. He's bringing a new motherboard.
All right.
I get a brand new motherboard.
All right. Well, so as we stand now, potential fathers for Anna Nicole Smith's kid are as follows. Howard K. Stern.
Right.
Larry Burkhead.
Yep.
Zsa Gabor's attention-whoring husband.
Right. He says he'll submit to a paternity test, by the way.
Well, of course he will. Is it because he's desperate to see his name in print? We've never even heard of him. Apparently he's some sort of professional attention hog, but we've never even heard of him until this week.
Well.
What else? The Bahamian guy. Although he now denied. Did you see that guy from the Bahamas? They asked him about a sexual relationship with Anna Nicole Smith, and they did it while his wife was sitting on the sofa next to him.
Wow.
And so they're like, you there, sitting on the sofa next to your wife, who will take half of your possessions for the rest of your life on Earth if you admit to this. Did you have sex with Anna Nicole Smith? And he just kind of goes, no, that's a ridiculous
thing. In a set environment, it wasn't any surprise. I knew the picture was being taken, and if you can see from the photographs, you saw a good smile on my face.
Yeah, so he's claiming...
a good smile on my face, I like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and so he clearly is on the list, even though he's not saying he's not.
There's also the frozen sperm from her 93-year-old.
There was also the frozen sperm. That right there brings the count to 5. Her bodyguard now claims that he could be the father. Doesn't say he is, but her bodyguard on Extra just claimed that he could be the father. That is 6. And then, of course, Sarah and I have chosen as the default setting that the baby was actually fathered by her deceased son, Daniel. And we are going to continue to believe that to be the truth until it's disproven. Just because it's the most interesting in a Chinatown kind of way.
I understand.
So there you go.
My sister. My mother.
Yeah.
My sister.
You don't care about this at all, do you?
Well, you know, it doesn't affect me one way or the other.
I can hear that tone in your voice sometimes when you're just sort of. There are days when you call.
I just think the bottom line here is there's a 5-month-old daughter who's never going to know her mother.
Well, and that's the other thing is like the mom, Anna Nicole Smith's mom, is now on this. You got to like stick the baby in a bank vault somewhere in a safety deposit box so that Howard K. Stern doesn't start switching babies. Because I guess they're afraid that the baby's going to get switched, and
well, that's what Larry Burkhead's lawyer was talking about when they sent that emergency request to the judge to have DNA taken from Anna Nicole now, so that Howard K. Stern didn't have time to switch DNA from the baby.
Right, right.
I don't know how you can do that. I mean, unless you really just go get another baby.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be that easy to get another baby. On the other hand, the guy's got millions of dollars at his disposal. He stands to earn up to $500 million if he somehow does this. I mean, it's like you think about that woman who put the finger in the Wendy's chili. Like, I wouldn't even know where to get a finger. You know what I mean? She somehow did it.
I think a finger happened onto her, and she thought, hey, here's something I can do with this. It's not so much you think of the crime. You think of what to do with the implement once you get it.
So that was sort of a supply-side crime.
I think so, yeah. The crime came to her.
The crime just fell into her lap.
I mean, you got to give her credit for ingenuity.
I mean,
you get a finger, what are you going to do with it? Oh, I think I'll get a couple of dollars from Wendy's.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem so outside the realm of possibility, though, that if you could promise somebody $400 million down the line, you say, look, she's going to borrow your baby for a while. Little testing, no harm, no foul. Later on, you know, we all get well.
But there's a fly in that ointment.
What is the fly, Jibrup?
That Texas lawsuit may go the wrong way. That kid may not inherit a dime.
It's just such a weird... Sarah totally nailed it early when she just said that this story has... You can't even get your head around it because there's so many aspects and variables to this whole thing. It just makes your brain hurt. So, I don't even know how this is...
And if more guys keep coming to the circle, I mean, at some point the music's going to stop and you're going to find the guy in the right seat. Or you're never going to find him.
Well, my thing is, so I don't understand much about the law in America, much less like in other parts of the world. But so with Howard K. Stern, who we all agree is a weasel, if he just grabs this baby, or because I guess the baby's in the Bahamas, if he just has the baby and he just goes to another country and is just like, hey, I'm in this other country, you're not going to test Jack.
He doesn't want the baby.
Well, he doesn't
want the money. That baby's worth about $500,000 an ounce.
But I'm saying...
I'm just saying,
if he just decides that, yeah, the baby is, and you know, a horrible thing to say, but if the baby is his gravy train, what's to stop him from just taking the kid and going to some other country?
Because how is he going to claim the inheritance then, if indeed she's granted the inheritance, if the lawsuit in Texas goes through?
Does he have to be in America to claim that money?
I think the courts can stop payment of that thing until he, you know, comes to... I mean, if you break the law, there has to be some sort of recourse. And a court is in charge of deciding whether this lawsuit goes forward or not. So the court will have complete control over what happens.
This whole thing is weird. You know, she just... God love her. I mean, you know, God love Anna Nicole Smith. She's, you know, it's a tragic end and all that. And, you know, in her time, she was really an astoundingly beautiful woman. But, I mean, let's just call it. She just seemed like just kind of another dumb blonde. And who knew that when she died, she would just leave this incredible... It's like this whole thing has become like a big Escher painting. I mean, I never would have predicted that just a vacuous Playboy playmate dying would leave behind just this cornucopia of news. I mean, it just is astounding.
I guarantee you she had no idea how weird and big this tapestry is.
No, it really is. I mean,
we're just all trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, we can't even get it through. I saw Larry.
We're the greatest minds in broadcasting.
And you and I, my friend, you and I, we're the tabletop fusion of broadcast here. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Let's talk real briefly about the police,
yeah.
Blah blah blah, because they played at the Grammys or something on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So I guess
and then we heard them play a little bit yesterday morning when they made their announcement.
So they're going to do the obligatory money grubbing reunion tour.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to tell you, and it's a long tour. It begins in May and it starts. It's all through North America. I honestly can't see Sting doing 3 or 4 dates without him losing his voice completely. There's going to be a whole lot of soundtrack, I think, and it's going to become a lip-sync concert. You might as well just play a CD because he's you know, it doesn't have the same voice he had.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, kind of, those guys are all in their, what, 50s? Mid-50s?
He's 55. The drummer, I think, is 62.
Jesus.
And then the other guy's like 54.
Yeah, and I don't really know anybody who's a gigantic Police fan. The Police seem like one of those... The Police to me are like the Cars. They're just sort of a band that, like, you sort of like casually. They come on the radio, maybe you listen, maybe you look for something else.
I remember when, at some point in the 80s, when people found out these were a bunch of white guys from Britain and they had that reggae sound, that
right.
They were picked off.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you remember that or not, but that was fairly big controversy because I was a disc jockey at the time.
You were a DJ. I'm just ticked off because their music irritates me. That's the whole thing. Sting bugs me, and Sting's one of those guys...
Well, you only have 3 instruments. What are you going
to
do?
He's never done anything to me. It's not like he came and kicked my dog, stole my woman or something. Sting just irritates me for no readily apparent reason. He just annoys me, and I can't really tell you why, so... Anyway.
It's like that neighbor you don't like.
It's true. It's exactly like you just...
You never talk to him, you never see him, but damn it, if he gets his trash cans any an inch closer to your property, he's going to kick it over.
It's like the guy, he's in the hallway. I don't like the look of that guy. I don't like the cut of his jib. That's how I feel about Sting. And I just like the opportunity where you work the word jib into something. All right. Jim Roop, my friend. Hey, has Rachel McGrath... Have you talked to Rachel McGrath lately?
I talked to her last week when we were at the bureau to get her ID.
Did she say anything about me?
No.
I don't mean to sound like a stalker. I'm just saying, we had her booked yesterday and she didn't appear.
Oh, really?
And then we had her booked today and she canceled. I'm just saying, if Rick Emerson is putting up a bad juju, a bad mojo.
I didn't know she was working today. I thought she wasn't working because she's only supposed to work when I'm not.
Is that true?
Yeah,
he says a little territorially.
Here when I'm back, and she's my backup.
Well, you know, because several times they've had both of you listed there on the page.
Yeah, but she's getting used to the thing. You know, they're having her work while I'm working in case she runs into
trouble. Well, next time you see her, just work.
Unless they're phasing me out, I have no idea.
Unless they're, Jim, we need to please come see us on Friday. Just work my name into conversation to get a chance. See if she responds to it at all. See if she has any reaction to that.
I promise I will. I'll be checking in with her this week anyway.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, Los Angeles. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, did I hear correctly? Did I hear Sarah say that she is curious about black love? Well, I cannot offer her black love. I can help her ease into that world. Is she interested in mocha love? What is mocha love, you ask? It is one part black, one part white, all parts love. Ever get back to me. All right, so there you go, sir. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, so we should do this. We should do this worst song ever here. So we can then take, because this is the band Red Hot Pistol. They emailed a couple weeks ago, and they were like, hey, we're a band, we got these tracks, but we don't have any singer, and can you help us find a singer? And I'm not sure how exactly we're going to do that, you know, sort of like an American Idol, Rockstar Supernova kind of a thing. So I don't know exactly how we're going to proceed with that. But I do know this, that they sent us an instrumental version of this song, and then they sent us a version with some guy, some ass, singing over the top of it, and... I've said really all I should say about it at this point because I just dragged this guy's voice through the mud several days in a row without anybody actually hearing this. So what I will do first, this is Red Hot Pistol. This first thing I'm going to play you is this just an instrumental. I won't play the whole thing, but I'll play enough so you can kind of get a feel for like the verse and the hook. You know, it's pretty well produced, got a pretty big sound to it, kind of a Black Crowes, kind of a Four Horsemen sort of a thing. And then I will play you this other version that they sent. This is to demonstrate why they need a lead singer. And just the introduction to this instrumental version says, listen to this version so you can hear what it sounds like before this douche ruins it. So here, before the said ruining by said douche, here is the instrumental. This is by Red Hot Pistol. I'll just play a little bit of this here. Kind of a Lenny Kravitz kind of a thing almost. No, I think we're going up on the coming up on the chorus here. And then it goes back into the verse here. So, you know, it's pretty good. Not a bad song. I mean, it could go either way. And when I say it could go either way, I mean, a good singer could make this song pretty great. This is not that singer. He says, and I have to clarify this, this is not their former lead singer, although he does, let's see, he said, Rick, the version with vocals is not our old singer. It's an audition we got from MySpace. Sadly, it's the best, what I'm about to play you is, I swear to God, he says, it's the best audition we've received. Our old singer was bad, but not this bad. He's a Rick Emerson listener and probably thought you were talking about him. Oh, well, he's a bitch anyway. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm just reading it up. Dude, I'm just reading off the page. So here we go. This is, by their own admission, the best audition they've received. This is some guy shouldn't ever be allowed to get near a microphone again. Auditioning for Red Hot Pistol. This is that same song, now retitled Lion's Den. Ladies and gentlemen, Red Hot Pistol and Some Douche. Whiskey and Frisky over and over like 100 times?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, like, you can hear a kind of a good song underneath this somewhere. If only it had nothing, if only the song and this guy had never met. Ah, the internet.
I feel a solo coming up, is it?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm not sure if there's an actual solo coming up, but this is the solo section, I think.
Oh, God.
Breakdown?
Come on, baby.
Oh.
Grab that shot glass. Call me another one.
Look at God Almighty. Come on, baby. Let me be your lover man. That's somebody who's listened to Panama too many times. This was worth the wait. It really was. I understand now that whiskey. Because he charges all the other times, because he's such a good lover man.
Are you kidding me?
This is a solo scene? It's a, I believe.
You're in the lion's den!
Who would end it on that note?
The best thing I've ever heard. I'm going to play this every day. Yeah. And, you know, Scotty's typing on the screen, I can picture this guy, and I can too, totally. He's got a headband, long, dirty, blonde, stringy hair, tight pants, ripped a bandana around one leg. How, come on, how great was that? Was that worth the wait or what?
That was swinging.
We're going we're gonna play that 100 more times. Oh, good God.
I don't know.
And but how terrible is it?
That was so awful.
And the instrumental is not bad. It's not a bad song. And then that guy.
You know what I have in my head now? Guns and whiskey make me frisky over and over again.
Yeah.
That is the worst thing.
The best part.
I had a lot of heart.
And when he's doing that, come on, baby, now. But except even I'm doing it better than he does. Pour me another shot. Yeah. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hello?
Hi.
Please make it stop.
Oh, come on. No, we're going to play this over.
Please make it stop.
We're going to play this
over. I'm recording. 970. Please make it stop.
No. Well, don't stand on the corner with the sign that says that. That won't help us. No, we're going to have to play that many. See, now you see why they need a new singer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. All right. Sorry about that. So there you go. Let's see. Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up?
Hey.
Hey, Sarah was saying make it stop. I think Darb was doing the same thing when that dude started singing.
Yeah, it's great, man. That did like right out of 1988. That's fantastic.
Oh, look, I've got a little Shih Tzu puppy, and as soon as that dude hit the screen at the beginning of the song, he looked at me and then looked at the radio and looked at me like, what are you doing?
He looked all sad. How am I displeased me?
Right. So my dog wanted it to stop.
All right, thank you, sir.
Later, Rick.
Right, there you go. Fantastic. Let's talk to Julia, who's the Job Shadow student who's with us today. How do you feel about the vocal stylings of that douche on Lion's Den, Julia?
Even I can do a better job than that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's awesome. I think we should take that into the break.
I think so, too.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up next hour, more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, Dennis Pitzenbarger, the Urban Perspective with Scotty J, and quite possibly the top five if we have chance. Let me just... let's fire this up again. Don't miss the oh yeah right here at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll play this 100 times, and then we'll find him a better singer. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this, it's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.